Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. Well, I, again, haven't slept all night. I have a lot of work to do. But this is an emergency episode. Because, yeah, this whole year doesn't get any better. There has been a terror attack in Russia. And a brutal one. There was a concert in a concert hall, and there were just terrorists entering there and systematically shooting people down. We have so many dead. About 60 are dead, closer to 70 even. Over 60 people have been killed, 115 have been hospitalized. Many, many are in hospital. There was an event of a band called Picnic. An old kind of Soviet era, late Soviet era, as they described themselves, progressive goth band, which used to kind of shows and whatever. And that was a concert hall with a mall around it. And it had a capability of 6,200 people. Approximately half of that was full. And, yeah, all of a sudden, just the weirdest things happened yesterday. First of all, I have to say that a branch of the Islamic State have claimed responsibility for this, the ISIS-K, and the United States officials confirmed this, and they didn't really explain why, but I managed to put some things together and did some research and called some people, so I'll explain to you why I actually think this is not a false flag attack, and why I really think this is ISIS, and what happened, and, you know, why in this case this doesn't help Putin at all, because you'll definitely hear a lot of studies about how this could help out Putin and everything, because, again, you know, remember Ryaza and Sugar and everything. But let's go through what happened. It's kind of hard to talk because I was also on the Discord and just following as everything happened and reading everything. And I'll give you some studies from the people, because, yeah. Well, anyways, if you remember, then the United States Embassy and UK Embassy warned that there would be some threats of terror attacks in Russia, and Putin just claimed that would be some sort of, you know, a fake, false, you know, blackmail of Russian sovereignty and government. Turns out, well, that wasn't fake. Basically, this was a coordinated attack of multiple people. We saw a lot of things there. They entered the concert hall next to a mall. They were armed with guns. A lot of guns, of course, and Molotov cocktails. And they started shooting both in the foyer and in the auditorium. It was they were focused and very well trained, well, very organized, and had planned everything out. They had planned everything thoroughly from the videos that we saw. They had training, everything. And they didn't, from the videos that I've seen, they didn't put any demands or anything like that. No, they just entered and started killing people. And it was just crazy. Because that was organized, and what happened was that apparently some of them got away in a white sedan car somehow. Because this was possible since, oh yeah, they also had Molotov cocktails and there were explosions happening there. And later afterwards, the building was in threat of collapse. And I don't really know what the condition is there right now, but I will check soon. There were, the fires were contained very, very late at night because the fires consumed not only this concert hall, but also the nearby Expo Trade Center thing. It's a big kind of a complex in Moscow. Yeah. And the weirdest part is that the security guards were armed only with batons and tasers, couldn't do anything. Many of them died. But Spetsnaz, special forces, began storming something only about an hour later. An hour. The shooting and craziness and everything, it went on for an hour. Afterwards, they found out that they had left a booby-trapped car. As they left, they found a body with like explosives tied on there. And it was just chaos. Whatever happened was that these people, they were professionals. They just went in there and they did a massive act of terrorism. Ukraine obviously is not tied with this and they denied this. Of course, Russian politicians obviously blamed Ukraine instantly. However, it wasn't as, you know, you didn't expect, you would expect that Dmitry Medvedev and other politicians in the Russian side would go all out on blaming Ukraine straight up, but they didn't. They tried to blame the, and still kind of do these kind of Russian nationalists who have attacked Belgorod and blame them. They also have, you know, commented on this. ISIS has taken responsibility already. But even then, even with this blame game, because, you know, with this, even with that, it wasn't as clear, even with politicians. And the special services, the people who are responsible for this, they also almost instantly stated that Ukraine, despite what the politicians say, the actual secret services of Russia do not really think that Ukraine did this. Again, it's absolutely, I'm 100% sure it was this ISIS-K, and they managed to just get away in some capacity. Some people were arrested. The security guards, the Rosgvardia, were beating up journalists. They couldn't even like properly stop anything from happening. There was an escape car. There were lockdowns across the country. Vladimir Putin hadn't made any speeches whatsoever because he hates being associated with this. It's just crazy. This was just... The biggest issue here was the fact that I was wondering, is this a false flag attack and what's going on? But yeah, this is a horrid terrorist attack. And... And Ukrainian Defense Ministry's main intelligence literate blame Putin because, again, Ryazan sugar and all that stuff. But it was just weird. And Russian intelligence reportedly ruled out both Ukraine and ISIS, but then ISIS kind of came back and claimed responsibility. Many countries condemned the attack, and that was just the strangest thing. This Crocus City Hall was still owned by a construction magnate from Azerbaijan, and they had ties. Apparently, the local guards who survived had ties to Armenia, but I highly, highly doubt that. Putin was still silent. He tried to completely avoid everything. You know, didn't even give a proper speech, just met with the official people and apparently just, oh yeah, death toll is way above 70. I think death toll is going to be in the hundreds because they're going to try to calm everything down. Again, sorry for this. I just spent the whole night studying this whole situation because Putin just met national security officials, bunch of people, but didn't even make a public speech, unlike everyone else. Putin passed on get well wishes through the deputy prime minister, never spoke himself, because, again, in such situations where Putin is not utterly in control, he is a coward. Nothing surprising there. But yeah, organized shootings, many people died in the fires, and just ISIS. I'll get to the stories of the people, because this was just crazy. We have reports from the people there as well. It just makes it even scarier, but that's like the people's stories. There were performers who were evacuated. An Ostrozhno Media journalist who was at the scene recounted how she and her mother escaped. And all of this is just, again, sorry for being so slow, but yet again, I tried to relax and horrible things happening. But yeah, from a journalist who escaped with her mother. Quote, at first it wasn't clear that it was a shooting. After we noticed the ticket collectors running from the top floors, people started to move. We ran into the center and realized they were also shooting below us. They were shooting above and below. There was nowhere to run. There were no announcements where to go, how to save or protect ourselves. We just lay on the floor waiting. We started running after everyone towards the escalator. We thought about hiding in the bathroom. People in the middle started shouting, turn around. Everyone started running back. We hid behind some flower pots, behind some stands. We lay there for several minutes. The shooting was going on the whole time. They didn't stop at all. And then we noticed that people started going downstairs, so we ran with them. On the way, we saw a dead girl. She'd been shot in the head. A man was standing there, helping everyone to get out. He was shouting, be careful, don't scratch yourself, don't cut yourself. That's how we managed to get out in the parking lot. These people who helped other people escape, they had to just break open the outside door. Oh yeah, and by the way, about the bathrooms, there are people who are dead there, who just, you know, suffocated in those bathrooms once the fire started going on, because these terrorists also throw Molotov cocktails all over the place. They did not even... didn't even... this was like a brutally planned out thing. And we have more stories. Olga reports that, quote, I was already in my seat inside the hall when everything started, and I didn't understand what was happening right away. About 5 minutes before the start of the concert, there was a strange noise. Then there were noises that sounded like firecrackers, and I didn't realize immediately that it was gunshots. Judging by the sound, the gunshots were quite far from me, in the lobby apparently. Then Crocus employees ran through the hall and drove everyone towards the stage and managed to make their way to an exit. While I was running, I heard the screams of people who had lost someone in the crowd. I didn't see any wounded. I was very lucky that I got a ticket near the end of the sixth row. No one was blocking the nearest exit, and I managed to get outside quickly and leave in a taxi before the fire started. By that point, police were already approaching the building. I remember that there were people of all ages in the hall, both elderly people and those with small children. I hope that they managed to get out. This was just... just weird. These people were well-armed and dressed, and again, everything was very organized. And just... they started plopping things. And again, yeah, some apparently have escaped. The Russian opposition media, whom I followed, they were very critical towards Putin and the fact that, you know, his special forces can actually stop only, you know, journalists protesting and civilians, but they cannot do anything about a terror attack. Which is true, but this is not the time to be snarky. The weirdest part is that, again, my first thought, just as most people here in Eastern Europe, was the fact that it wouldn't be surprising. Like Alexander Nevzorov and others also stated that it could be, you know, a false flag attack, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't. See, the thing is, it kind of checks out. Because if you remember, in January, there was an assault in Iran, in this Qasem Soleimani's memorial service, explosions, twin bombings in January in Iran. There has been an attack on Russian embassy in Afghanistan as well. And if you recall in earlier episodes, then Russia has close ties to Taliban, which are the only people, I even made fun of them when they were the only group that actually arrived in the Economic Forum. Taliban, Hamas, and all those people, they arrive constantly in Russia for various talks and official levels, including the Afghanistan's official government there. And if you notice, Russia also uses Iran's drones and Shahids and everything, so they're in very close ties with that. Kind of, from this sense, it makes perfect sense, since ISIS is very active and they are fighting against these Afghanistans and Iranians, and they don't like these other groups at all. And they are blaming Russia, and they've been criticizing Putin in their own propaganda for, you know, killing Muslims, referencing Moscow's interventions in Afghanistan, Chechnya, and of course Syria, where in Syria they used chemical weapons on civilians, you know. So makes sense that at this point, when Russia is just super friendly with their moral enemies, their other people, other groups that they hate. Yeah, this ISIS K had a valid reason to do this. How they could have been trained? Well, many ways. You know, also, there are some interesting people from Afghanistan who are being trained in Russia, the Taliban soldiers as well. Hristo Grozev said that, but we have sources that really, you know, state that these Afghani soldiers unrelated to this ISIS is also being trained, so, you know, there are bases for Russia actually training these sort of rivals, I suppose, enemies of ISIS. But it totally made sense and was brutal. The weirdest part is that a lot of people will, of course, start stating that this somehow benefits Putin a lot, that he will use this as an excuse to do full mobilization, and that he'll gain a bunch of benefit from all this situation. However, again, if this would be a stage attack, if this would be a false flag attack, then every perpetrator instantly would be killed. The cops would be like right there, and it would be like, you know, we've seen how they deny stuff and what Putin says and what the reaction actually is when something happens. When it's all fake, then Putin's also showing up and taking first stage and all this stuff. Right now, Putin's afraid because he's a coward. And once again, it's been shown that when he actually needs to do something, and when things aren't going according to plan, then he can't do anything. He cannot focus on stuff. The very fact that Putin isn't front and center, that alone shows that this was unplanned. Secondly, this truly shows weakness to everyone. Putin had been claiming, like, there's the reason why in Russian propaganda news they portray the whole war all the time, that everything is safe, nothing is happening. Putin has been actively trying to protect Moscow from any notions of that they're living in this wartime. With these Belgorod groups, the difficulty is the fact that official news and official propaganda constantly state that, you know, all the attacks have been stopped and all this stuff. They said that they killed all the intruders in 14th, 17th, and 18th of March three times, and then in 20th they did that again. And they just, whatever happens, they try to make sure that everyone knows that Russia is strong, they're constantly winning, they're destroying everything, nothing is going wrong whatsoever. There's a reason why Russian official media never report any loss, any, you know, any losses of their own forces. Which is why I also think that the real number of casualties is much higher, because if the official confirmed data by the FSB and the official governmental authorities is 70, then it's big. Because if Putin doesn't talk at all with his people. He shows cowardice. Then, from what I know of Russian culture and how Putin acts, and he spoke to Evit about this as well, then this is a massive blow to his authority. This is much worse than you can possibly imagine. Sure, he won the so-called election, but this is the kind of stuff which Putin promised that would not happen. He was elected on the principle that, you know, he'd stop terror attacks and he could assure all this situation. Again, yeah, he could stop them when he was organizing them in Ryazan, Sugar, you know, and Beslan school tragedy after that, there was a massive, massive issue. Here, what happens is that everyone could see that there was only an hour since the cops arrived, and the aid wasn't there, and it was total chaos. And this happened in Moscow. This is going to be a massive tragedy. But it's Russia. In Russia, they'll shed some tears, but the fact that Putin allowed this to happen shows that, you know, his rule isn't as tough and reliable and secure as he might think and he might show to people. This will get noticed. Sure, there will be anger towards these people who did this. And of course, they're going to blame Americans and Ukraine and Putin's spinners, you know, political spinners will basically, they'll figure a way how to use this crisis. But yeah. They also have shown that this is what happens when the usual political spin doctors were thrown away, and this time really the Internal Security Council and the military guys were running the Putin's election stuff, you know, trying to rig all the votes while being in a military conflict. And no one really managed to oversee this situation. Yeah, this is Moscow, and Putin always had been trying to stop anything from happening. What Putin should be doing right now, if, by the way, and at that point I would be very much, at that point I'd be much more skeptical about the whole ISIS thing, but Putin, you know, he'd be out there yelling total death and throwing around threats and promising vengeance and payback to the end of the world. But he's not. Because that's the biggest issue here. But remember that this is Moscow. It's safe. It's supposed to be safe. And like Solovyov and Skabiev and actual propaganda people, they are worried about their own security. And Putin's also very much worried about his own personal life and well-being. This is something that's a black swan event, I think. Also, I wonder what's the ties with Kadyrov. That thing is definitely going to be checked. Everyone's going to be on their feet and doing as much as they can to kind of shift the blame on something and figure stuff out. They also try to sort of, at one point there were theories that these were like these tall Slavs who possibly wore fake beards about the Russian Volunteer Corps involvement. It was all like bulletins out there, but that was all that's all nonsense, because again, the sheer incompetence of the Russian Federal Security Service and all that stuff, that was just insane. But again, yeah, they also beat up journalists who tried to film this. And now even I'm confused. Because I expected anything except this to happen. But now I think the most important part is to figure out how and what is going to happen next. Sure, there's probably going to be mobilization. But in this case, you see, in this case, they actually kind of have to find out a proof of the that it's Ukraine, and they won't find any. Also, if somehow they start blaming Ukraine on this or these groups without finding any real perpetrators who got away, by the way, some of them, then it looks even worse for Putin. At this point, he really has to actually show that he can solve something and be a leader. And the fact that he, as this was happening, had no words for his own people. Only Dmitry Peskov stated like two lines, and it was what, up until like 12 hours from the whole events, Putin still hadn't made a public statement or something. He hates being associated with actual tragedies, you see. This definitely has an impact. This has an impact, and what I think, though, is that I wonder how much United States knew about what's going to happen, because they did issue a warning about concerts and everything, but apparently that act of terrorism that they had warned about was thwarted, but this wasn't. We're all a bit of a complex mess. Again, Twitter is going to explode about this situation, but yeah, I've been up all night and confirming all these facts and everything, and thinking about how this is going to go through, and rewatching very tragic scenes. Meticulous slaughter is difficult. And yeah, there are no news about any arrests, except they arrested some random protesters who were like confused about all the mess, but we know that some people escaped the car. No one knows how many exactly these terrorists were. Some say it was like up to 20. There have been weapons found on the way out with armored jackets. That means some of them actually left with the whole crowd. Like, they managed to even get away with this. The whole situation is just an insane mess. But yeah, we'll follow through everything, and now I wonder how and what will Putin spend. Today is going to be the day where Putin has to speak somehow, somewhat, with something. He has to figure out what to say to the people and what to do, because this is a real issue, a real thing, which has shown that, yes, apparently you can do active terrorism inside Moscow, and that it's not safe there. And that now there's a bit of trouble with Iran and all this mess. But about the Ukraine war, Ukraine will of course be blamed. The United States and everyone else also just confirmed that Ukraine didn't have anything to do with this. And mobilization I think was already planned after the election farce. I don't really think that this is going to impact it in any other way. Like, it's not going to change the plans that much. It's going to do quite a bit of damage to morale, unless this is solved properly, and it isn't, because Putin's now massively failing to do anything that would be a unifying thing there. I don't really think that this is kind of, well, for example, Nazarov, and again, I'm sorry for being so stunned and slow, but this is what happens when you have to do the episodes on acts of terrorism, and when you have spent many hours just staring at people being shot, and then you call people and you talk about this, and then it just goes into your brain, and then you try to make an episode which is relevant as you're listening to it, because otherwise, it's going to be an explosion of panic stuff. There is the theory, of course, that, you know, this might help deflect attention from some other stuff happening in Russia as Putin mobilizes or whatever, but this doesn't work like that. Again, I spoke with Evit, and in the Russian culture, this is one of those effects which shows that that it isn't as safe as Putin had promised. If you remember, all of Putin's power, all of Putin's legitimacy comes from this cult of military might, cult of security, of being, you know, these brave, powerful men and soldiers who are guaranteeing security for everyone and all that stuff. Like, a bunch of Russian opposition people have stated that, you know, Putin has promised absolute security for everyone. And he had actually declared a bunch of Russian opposition people terrorists themselves. But now, you know, he can't do anything with real terrorism. Because, again, there was some fire. They maybe have arrested someone. No one knows. They have, like, they're searching for things, but it's a mess. I don't even know what Putin could be doing right now. Because, again, Ukraine's front lines, yeah, what's he going to do? Like, justify using tactical nukes or something? No. No. Right now, Putin is panicking, and I think about the same level as when Prigozhin just marched to Moscow. Sure, the security people, they have started their super security plan, Zarya or something. They have canceled public events, and it's kind of, you know, running through the system. But the incompetency was seen by everyone, and this is gonna spread like wildfire. Of course, there's gonna be like maybe some more news and investigation, but I don't think that. I don't think that Putin currently at this point will be just forcing some weird narrative here. He might be blaming, I don't know, United States as usual. He might be playing some political cards out there, but to those of you who think that this somehow benefits Putin or even Ukraine, not a real clue, to be honest. And again, what and what's going to happen with if this kind of continues? Because let me remind you that ISIS have been trying to, you know, show the world that they're very active, and that they have been planning attacks all over the place, except that in Europe they had been thwarted, and now you know, there people were thinking that group had diminished capabilities, but nope. Apparently, they can do this. They did this in Iran. They did this here. ISIS promised to speak more today. And the weird part is that, of course, I'm pretty sure that there will be channels who state that it's Ukrainians working with ISIS, which is utter nonsense, but we'll hear such things as well. The only thing that I can assure you with 100% certainty is the fact that Putin's going to be searching for insider betrayers, for traitors. As a properly paranoid dictator, he's going to be scanning through all sorts of things. There are already some people who worked in that Crocus Center have been arrested. This might lead to his, you know, old brain somewhat of a breaking point. And the elites who live there in Moscow, they also might not be as happy with Putin if things go on. But interesting circumstances. Because, yeah, as far as I understood this, and from what I saw and what I understood from speaking to people closer to the situation, we're talking about organized stuff here. They not only knew the planning, they also knew that this would be a concert for, you know, everyday people, not some special thing where there would be more security or something. They knew the plan, they knew how to get out, they had planned everything up, they had full staff of the building, the interior. Which means that probably someone would work with this. And that is no surprise, because if you remember, if you recall Moscow only has four mosques for all of its millions of Muslims. And tensions between Muslims and Orthodox, especially in Moscow, have been very high. The ultra-nationalists who support the war, they have been very anti-Islamic. Ramzan Kadyrov is trying to pretend that he defends Muslims, but these guys are going to probably shoot him if they see him. They had these tensions, religious tensions, flaring up. They had a lot of issues before. If you remember, there were like fights happening and people being arrested and just beaten up on the streets. This is what happens if you have a when incompetence, internal strife, and all such nonsense just adds up and piles in. This is what happens when you train your security forces to instead of doing actual job, to just beat up protesters. This is a black swan event, and I feel very sad and actually a bit traumatized by the whole event there, because that was tragic, but I also have no idea how or what is going to happen now. Don't let people on social media and everywhere else fool you. Don't start panicking about, you know, nuclear war tomorrow and all this stuff. Putin will try to blame God knows who when he comes together, but he's missed his golden opportunity by not speaking personally, because again, he doesn't want to associate with this stuff. And the worst part is, from what I know and what I have understood, is that this might be just first of such events. After all, you know, if ISIS gets thwarted in Europe, if they get thwarted all over the place, but in Russia they can manage to get away with this, at least in a lot of these cases, they can just run away and successfully do these things, then I think Mr. Putin has actual huge issues here on his hands. And the big mobilization stuff? Do you really think that Putin, as paranoid as he is, at this moment would want to give out arms to all these people out there who need to be mobilized? All these other, you know, Muslims who are citizens of Russia and who would like to take up arms? I don't think so. Maybe there will be some new summons, but I vote for paranoia taking control. And of course, this is one of those times when this just has to happen and it overshadows everything for a while. But the weirdest part is that the worst part is, again, and I'm sorry for being so slow, but again, I explain myself why it's like this. The worst part is that we actually don't know how many people seriously went in there and how what are the actual casualty numbers. There might be lies about that as well, because the building was on the verge of collapsing. It's going to be definitely bigger. Because again, if the official numbers state that it's over 60 people dead, then what are the real ones? They had 50 ambulance cars outside out there. The official mourning is all over the place in Russia. People are in hospital in heavy condition. And no one knows what's gonna happen next. They tried to do the fake footage of Ukraine services They tried to hire a deep fake about Ukraine, but that didn't even work out, and they canceled that one out easily. It's just that it's one of the most bizarre things I've seen in a while. We'll see what happens, but well, I think that we're seeing the first spot of actual falling apart of Russia. The whole weaponry and everything, all this stuff, has to start somewhere. The collapse as in many other places, you know, happens very, 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 very slowly, and then all at once. And, well, this is, as I see it, the beginning of the whole collapse thing. Well, let's hope that you guys are all safe. And I hope that I have convinced you that this isn't a false flag attack, because I don't believe it was. And that we're going to have to follow this closer, a lot closer. I checked a lot of options and spoke with a lot of people and had to, again, filter out what I can and cannot exactly tell you about this whole stuff. But now we've seen Moscow. Moscow seeing all this nonsense. Zed channels and ultra patriots are, of course, mocking and mocking the West and everything, but it's the beginning of the end, truly. I'll go and try to get some sleep. До свидания, товарищ. It's going to be a rough day. I have an article to write for Foreign Policy Magazine, and sorry for this being long and ranty, except that, you know, I read through all this scripted thing, and then after some calls, I'm like, can't do this, have to modify that, and staring straight into the abyss where you look at how people actually shoot and all this nonsense. I think I'm going to go and grab myself a beer from the store or something. And then I'm going to work harder or maybe sleep. I really, really wish you guys stay safe. Happiness is, of course, mandatory. And please support the show. You already know how to do it. Patreon, Eastern Border, donate button, all that nonsense. I'll get to the maps and everything when this is a bit more sane. 6,200 spots, about half full. Wow. Stupid, interesting, goddamn times.